So it's been 3 weeks since my last message. Last message, we began just a short series together entitled Christ's Church. And just a series of messages designed just to speak and to teach on what it looks like and what it means to be in the Church of Christ Jesus. And so we'll continue just with that theme this morning. I'm done with church. Finished. Had enough of it. There is too much hurt. There's too many difficulties. There are too many hypocrites. As a Christian, my faith is between me and God. So I don't need church. That's what someone told me on the door last summer. As in community impact, as we were going door to door, as we were seeking to share Christ with our community, a very broken man stood before me and said those words. It had been years, maybe even decades, since he'd last attended a church gathering. Have you ever felt like that? Have those words ever crossed your mind? I'll be honest with you, for me, they have. There is difficulties. There is hurts. And at times the thought can cross your mind, is it worth it? In a day and an age when church splits seem to be happening every week, in a day when there is just a massive percentage of people kind of moving from church to church, is it worth sticking in with church? Or should we just focus on our own walk separately from everyone else? Should we just separate from a church structure? Should we give up on meeting with other Christians? And by the way, if you're wondering, is this just a problem in Northern Ireland? With New Tribes being a European college, I've been speaking to friends of mine from England, from Germany, from Holland, from Italy. They're all facing the same things in their churches. This is not something that's localized to ourselves. This is not an issue and a difficulty that is just simply in this country. It is across the board. And so the question still stands, is it worth it? Are we tempted to think that maybe it's enough to put on UCB in the morning to listen to a bit of teaching from that? Are we tempted just to put on our favorite praise and worship CD? Are we tempted to go on YouTube and put on the latest sermon from our favorite celebrity preacher? Is that enough? In our Christian walk, is that enough to get us through? Are we tempted to just say, maybe I will go to church, but I'm not going to really get involved? As I get involved with people, there is just too many hurts there. I've been hurt in the past. I can't trust people. Are you tempted with that? Can we grow as Christians without church? Sometimes our feelings perhaps say yes. Sometimes our wisdom would say yes. But what does God's word say about it, though? If you have your Bible with you, would you open to Ephesians chapter 4? Ephesians chapter 4. And we'll read from verse 11. So, Ephesians 4, reading from verse 11 to verse 16. This is God's word. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Edifying is a word that means built up. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. That's God's word. And we're going to look at this now just in two or three short points. The first point, we've asked the question, can we grow as Christians without church? Do we need it? Does the thought ever cross our mind, I don't need it? Point one, don't give up on church. Christ is coming back for his bride. That is truth that has already been in the hymns that we've been singing this morning. Don't give up on church. Christ is coming back for his bride. Life in church will be difficult. It will be hard work. It will be worth it. So don't give up on church. The church is not yet perfect. It's made up of people who are not yet perfect. It is made up with people who struggle with sin. But one day, the Lord Jesus will return to take his bride to be with him forever. And then it will be made perfect. Then the heartaches will be removed. Then the divisions and the conflict will be no more. The church will no longer then be made up of saints who wrestle with a sin nature, for sin itself will be removed. The things that I say and do that grieve other people around me, that will be stripped out. I will be given a new body. As Christ has a resurrected body, I will be given a resurrected body that will have no blemish, it will have no spot, it will not have a sin nature. There will be no more division, there will be no more conflict. The church will be made perfect. And I cannot wait for that day. I cannot wait for that day. What a day that is going to be. But until that day, while we are still on this earth, while we are still in these bodies, do not give up on meeting together. Do not give up on meeting together. It will not always be like this. Turn over a few pages to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. And we're just going to read a few verses from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Hebrews 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Do not give up on church. Christ is coming back for his bride. There are plenty of people who are going to point to mistakes and imperfections and sins in the church and in individual Christians, and they're going to use it as their reason, as their excuse to reject the gospel of Jesus Christ. They take it as evidence that because believers are not perfect, that Christ did not die for sins, that Christ did not rise again, that Christ is not coming back to take his bride and to judge those who've rejected him. I know plenty of people who say that. Christianity want nothing to do with it. Do you know, have you seen some people, how some Christians get on? Have you heard what they said to me, what they did to me? They use the church's imperfections as reasons to reject Christ. Maybe as a Christian that has happened as well. And maybe your walk has been non-existent since. Maybe you've had no desire for a deepening relationship with Christ since that moment. I'm sorry for that. I'm sorry that we live in a world where there are hurts. But God's word does tell us that every Christian will be examined by God, every word, every thought, and every action. Every believer will have to give an account to God for those things. We read that in Romans 14 and verse 12, in Matthew 12 and 36. But I have to ask you a question. When you stand before God, do you think that God will excuse you for rejecting Christ because you were hurt or let down by someone else? When you stand before God, do you think that God will excuse you for rejecting Christ because you were hurt or let down by Christians? It's quite a serious note, but I have to tell you that God's word tells us that God will hold each of us fully responsible for our own decision to accept or to reject Christ. Other people's actions will not give you a valid excuse before God. Christ is coming back for believers, but he's also coming back to reject those who have rejected him. Take the warning. If you're someone who has rejected Christianity because of Christians, Christianity is about Christ. Christianity is about who he is and what he did and what he's going to do. Do not reject him based on an imperfect church, please. Our second point. It's going to require complete commitment to bodybuilding. Complete commitment to bodybuilding. That's the title for this morning's message, True Bodybuilding. I seem to end up talking about bodybuilding quite a bit. I don't know why that works out. But in a church context, what is complete commitment to bodybuilding? Hopefully, so far, we've heard enough to ask, well, what does it look like to not give up on church? What's it going to require of me? I mean, I come to church, I shake hands on the way in, I sit down, I go home. I haven't given up on church. But what is complete commitment to bodybuilding? It means never give up on getting involved in other believers' lives and allowing them to see into the barefaced reality of yours. Never give up on getting involved in the deepest level of another believer's life and allowing them to see you, warts and all. That's complete commitment to bodybuilding. So it's not just a commitment to growth in your own life, it's complete commitment to the people sitting around you right now. The people in this building is the Church of Jesus Christ in this gathering. And so commitment isn't just going to be for yourself to say, yes, I want to grow as a Christian. Commitment to bodybuilding is saying, I commit to you. I commit to you and you and the people behind. It's the growth of the whole church. Total church renewal and growth comes not just from us individuals, but it's going to come from renewal of us as individuals, as people in family units, in marriage, in whatever way that you do your life. So God desires that families would grow together in maturity under the leading of the head of the household. God desires that marriages would reflect the relationship between Christ and his church. Everything is connected. So here's another question for you. I'm full of questions today, aren't I? What does it mean for the building up of the body in this church fellowship in Abbots Cross? What is it going to involve for Abbots Cross to grow? Now, I don't mean grow in terms of how many numbers attend a service on a Sunday or a Tuesday or a Friday. When I say what's it going to involve for Abbots Cross to grow, I mean what's it going to take for this church family to be doing and being what God wants us to do and be. That's growth. That's maturity. So Jesus' great commission is for us to go and to make disciples. And then to teach them God's word. So the building up of the body in this place is going to be evangelism. It's going to be people being brought into God's kingdom and then seeing them taught and mature in their faith, becoming more and more like Christ. And that brings great pleasure to God. And that glorifies God as his church is built up. Another question. do you want to see this church fellowship going forward and being built up? I'm sure most of you do. I'm sure perhaps all of you do. You want to see this place built up for the glory of God. You want to see this place being strong and healthy in the purpose that God has for it. If you do, it's going to require something on your part. It's going to require a desire for you to mature in your faith. It means you're going to have to get more serious in your personal walk, in striving after Christ. It means the married couples need to submit your marriage more and more to reflect Christ and His church. It means family units need to focus on growing together, praying together, ministering to one another. And most importantly, it means being serious about being committed to share your life and your struggles and your growth with those sitting around you in the service. Listen again just to what Hebrews 10 said. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Notice it didn't say, don't give up on going to church and listening to a message. It says, don't give up on meeting together, but don't give up on encouraging each other. Don't give up on stirring up one another to love. The words that are used there are really personal words. Those are words that don't just sound like a social gathering. It's not just that some people like badminton, so they go to a badminton club once a week and play. It's not just that we all like Christ, so we come here once a week and talk about Christ. There's something deeper than that. This is not a social club church. It's an organism being built up by God. It is people being knitted together, united in Christ, at the very deepest level of our humanity. It is every part of the body serving each other to see the body built up. Listen again to some of the verses from Ephesians 4. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. That is challenging. The vast majority of the New Testament was written to local church fellowships. It wasn't written to individuals. Some of the epistles and letters are written to individuals, but most of it is written to church gatherings. Most of it is written with instruction for church fellowships to grow, how to interact with each other, how to serve each other, how to worship God. And God's will for growth is that we would do it together in our church fellowships. To me, it doesn't make sense. I'll not lie. To me, it is a difficult thing. Why can't my walk just be between God and myself? But God, in his infinite wisdom, decreed that this is how we would work. He decreed that this is a major aspect of what we need for maturity. Let me clarify something in that as well. The primary way that we grow is if we abide in him. He is the vine, we're the branches. And so to grow, we do need to abide in him. We need to abide in his will. But his will revealed is that we would do that together. His will revealed is one body, one church, united in Christ. And through that, he plans to display his glory to today's world. How? By showing the world a community of people living together in love and in harmony. By a community where people commit to each other regardless of circumstance, where we submit to one another, where we build ourselves up in love. It is God who builds his church. But working through us is a major part of his plan. Third and final point. what are some of the results of bodybuilding? What are some of the gains? And a few short ones to begin with. Major result of being committed to a local church fellowship. Major result of opening up your life to those around you. You can become aware of immaturity and sin in your life that you never would have seen otherwise. You can become aware of immaturity and sin in your life that you would never have seen otherwise. So we all have our blind spots. Everything I do, I'm pretty sure, is right. That's not the truth. The truth is that each one of us has different failings and different times of weakness, and we need each other for that journey. As pride in my life blinds me to things, I need people around me who can show that to me. It's vital that we are around people who can lovingly show us areas in our life that we're blind to. Second one, you can serve those around you. As we commit to church, it's an opportunity to serve others. Serving others is a core result of following Christ Jesus. His life on this earth was evidenced by that. Commitment to others, no matter how tired he was, no matter what it meant, no matter what their motives were, he committed to people. An opportunity to serve those around you. You can encourage those around you. How many times do we pray for God to bless certain people and to encourage certain people? Good news. He wants to use you to answer that prayer. He wants to use you to bring a hug to someone, to bring a word of encouragement to someone. He can use you to encourage those around you. And the last sub-point in this, you can experience crisis. You can experience crisis. It's probably a bit weird that I'm saying this like it's a positive thing. Who wants to experience crisis? It is a positive thing. God did not save us to leave us as we are, because our greatest need is to change. Individually and collectively. That's what sanctification is. Becoming less like your sinful self and becoming more like Christ. Our greatest need is to change. So being committed to the nitty-gritty of church life means that in various settings, your character and your maturity can be tested by God. As circumstances and situations arise, it reveals to us where we're at in our maturity and in our growth. And so, as you collide with other people, as hurts are made clear, as differences arise, you have an opportunity to trust God, to put to death your sinful nature, and to be led by the Holy Spirit. That brings pleasure and glory to God, and it continues the process of your change. That continues the process of you being transformed more and more into the image of the risen and the glorious Christ Jesus. Let me clarify one point to that. Many situations and conflicts and hurts around us are the result of sin. God does not cause people to sin. But when we do, he works in that situation for our good if we respond as he desires us to. And he works in that situation ultimately to change people, to change his church, and to bring glory to his name. Most change and growth actually happens in the really difficult times in life. Do you agree with that? Times in your life really where you've experienced the most growth in your walk have actually been the difficult and the hard times. And the danger that we face as believers is that we become stagnant in our growth and that we're no use for God's will to fill the earth with his glory. So a major constant, I'm not a massive fan of reading up church history. I've read some books on church history and done a bit of studying on it. But a major constant in church history is a reluctance to change. By nature, we become totally fixated on what form our church takes. That's the basis for many of the conflicts in churches today, isn't it? the form of how things take ends up being what divides us. The form is how we do things. The function is why we do things. So the function can quickly fall by the wayside. We can quickly forget why we're doing something and get so caught up in the how we're doing something. Let me try to illustrate that for you. We live in a generation that faces an energy crisis. What is it that makes your car run? What is it that makes heat appear in your house? We face an energy crisis. So one of the fundamentals of our society is that we burn petroleum and oil and gas in order to sustain our way of life. That's what goes in our car, that's what heats our house, that's what powers electric stations then that pump it out to us. For decades, we have known that these resources will one day run out. We know that something has to change. The function, the heat, the light, the movement that we need comes about through burning those resources. And so the form is burning those resources. The function is the ability for heat and for life. As the world around us changes, we have to figure out how to change the form. We have to figure out other ways to sustain the function of our life. We need change. We need to find a new form that fulfills the function. And so let me bring that into church life. Let's say that it was decided that we would not do two services on a Sunday, but we would just do one church service on a Sunday at 3:00 in the afternoon. If that change upsets you so much that you wouldn't come to that 3:00 service, then you have a real issue of putting form above function. The same could be said of other meetings in the week or methods of outreach or any other structure that is in place in the church. What's most important, the function, is that the body meets together, encourages one another, gets to know one another, proclaims Christ, and is built up together. That's the bottom line of bodybuilding. Focus on function, not on form. So do not let disagreements on how things should be done separate you from that commitment to obeying God's commands to be completely committed to bodybuilding. I close with this conclusion. The body of Christ is to build itself up in love so that the unity produced will serve as a bridge to reach a lost world for Jesus Christ. Yes, we are not going to be perfect. But yes, God has called us to be committed to each other, to be committed to bodybuilding. And as we do that, this is what excites me so much about Spark. One of the big things that just hurts me is driving along and seeing church, 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 church. Having grown up in a country where there are people who are crying out for the good news of God's message of salvation and who have no one to tell them, it kills me to drive by and see church, church, church. Oh no, they're not really Christians because they do this or that. And division. Now don't get me wrong, there are churches that do not preach the gospel. But a burning passion in me is that churches in this land who are in Christ, who are believers, would come together in unity to build a bridge to the lost world. Think of the brokenness in community. Think of the brokenness in marriages, in family life, in each street being at war with the next street. Think what message of hope a body being built up in unity and in love will proclaim to the community around us. Don't give up. Don't give up on opening up your heart and your life. Don't give up on allowing other people into your walk. Adversity helps roots grow deeper. That's what strong winds do to palm trees. The stronger the wind blows, the deeper and stronger the roots become. And that's what trials can do for us. That thing that perhaps has put people off church, God can use that to make you stronger, to make the church stronger. He wants to bring us through it He wants to bring us through trials and difficulties that arise, especially in church life. He doesn't want to remove us from them. Trials help patience grow, which in turn brings growth and maturity. We saw that in James. And being like Christ will mean having time for people, being committed to people. Serving the Lord and being committed to bodybuilding are so linked together, they can't be separated. So there will be difficult times. There will be heartache. There will be hypocrisy until Christ comes again. But don't give up on church. You need it. I need it. We need it. God's word tells us that. And in faith, we are to take God at his word and act accordingly. Being part of the Church of Christ means being involved in true bodybuilding. I'm going to pray for myself. I'm going to pray for the church fellowship in this place. I think you should pray for yourself as well. Maybe resolve your commitment to being involved in God's will for building up the body, for stirring up one another in love and encouraging one another. Let's pray. Father, we are humbled and overawed as we would see your plan and your purpose to bring together all who are in Christ. Father, in our last message, we saw that we are united with you and you dwell in us. And now, Lord, we ask that you would teach us further what it means to dwell in harmony with each other. What it means to be a part of the body, each of us doing and fulfilling our role. And Lord, you've given a role and a purpose for each one of us. Help us to build up the body. Help us to be committed to bodybuilding. Father, in days, months, and years to come, if the thought would cross our mind, I don't need that. Father, would you bring the light of your truth to bear in our hearts and in our minds in that moment? We praise you that you want to build up your body of Christ, the bride of Christ. And we praise you and thank you that you are coming back for us one day and that we'll be made perfected and we will be glorified and there'll be no more sanctification to be done because we will be saved from the very presence of sin. We praise you and we cry out, Lord, for that day. But give us the strength and the grace to be involved in building up the body today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.